The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To the bottom of the screen, Professor Heather Hill.
Oh, hello. How are you? I asked you first.
Terrible. How are you?
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's not easy. Nothing's easy, you know.
I know. Everything's different and hard and dystopian.
The quote from the Chronicle this morning was, as colleges prepare for fall, it's like driving very, very slowly through the densest fog that you've ever been through. Nobody knows what to expect.
Correct, for sure. But the sun is shining and things are getting better, right?
Right. You think? We're indoors.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. It's gorgeous today, and it's going to be gorgeous tomorrow. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. So that helps. Yeah, I have all the windows open on the first floor.
Matt's just saying that so he wants us to come over and help him with the mulch.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I like spreading mulch.
I get to use a pitchfork unironically.
You need one, Matt?
Sure.
We got one.
Unironically, what does that mean?
Well, not for, you know, pretending like I'm sticking my boys in the butt or, you know, pretending like I'm American Gothic or something like that.
No, there'd be a little of that.
Yeah, maybe just a little for Facebook purposes or something.
It's just interesting. Usually I have the boys recover the memory of it's impossible to move at least 8 cubic yards with a shovel. It just doesn't work. You definitely need a pitchfork to do it.
Yep. Sounds good.
Professor Beth Oljar is here.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, there we go.
There's the pitchfork. That looks like a devil's pitchfork.
Hey, now, you haven't seen me use a pitchfork, so.
Hey, Beth, do you have like a victory garden or something?
I do not. I have made some attempts at gardening in previous years. One year I was successful with growing herbs, and Heather has always tried to help me, but I can't commit to it. I think.
Do you mind me asking what herbs that you tried to grow?
Chives, thyme, basil, sage, parsley, you know, the usual things.
The usual suspects?
Yes, indeed.
Basil's a good one. I always feel like if you let it take over, it will. And then you can make lots of pesto, which is always fantastic.
I love pesto.
Excellent. Excellent. Professor James Balfour Tubbs is with us today.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
You
started at cliches about how things were. I had a friend in college who, if ever you complained about anything, she would just cheerfully say, well, life is hard and then you die.
Oh,
that's very depressing. I hope she doesn't write cards.
Or fortune cookies.
for Hallmark.
It's interesting you use that as your story, Jim, because I don't know what it was, but it was, oh, there we go. Nice. Eat
Zombie
salad.
Death eats salads.
This morning, I was trying to remember who it was who said there's only two things in life that are certain, you know, death and taxes. And you go down the rabbit hole when you got Wikipedia right in front of you. And so this is a variation of what you said, you know.
Mark Twain, Roy Rogers.
Apparently, it was originally attributed to Benjamin Franklin, although not in writing.
Yeah, I think it was Franklin, from what I've heard.
I feel like I should get to know that guy a little bit more.
He is awesome.
He is.
Our first Postmaster General, other things.
Right underneath me on my screen is Professor Stephen Manning, the newly retired Professor Stephen Manning. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is that what you're supposed to say when people retire?
I don't know. It's not official until August, but I was wondering how our lives would change once the semester was over. Classes are done and we're no longer doing that. Grades are submitted. And what do we do now? put in screen windows and plant flowers and stuff, I guess. It's going to be interesting to see, depending on how long this thing goes on, what we do with ourselves at this point.
No, it's quite true. Yeah, we went on the first ever all 5 miles independent bike ride the other day. It's kind of been a big deal for my youngest because he was afraid of getting to ride a bike. But now it's like the first thing he thinks of when he wakes up. But you got to have things like that, Stephen. Got to have stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Help cook a lot of things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fire up that grill. Come on. Professor Mara Livesey is here. Speaking of people who like to cook, mostly bake, but Professor Mara Livesey is here. You had to have baked something today.
No.
Ooh.
What?
I actually haven't baked since I made the Death by Sugar scotcheroos. I'm taking a break from sugar.
Does that have anything to do with Josh by any chance?
You know, even though he's a type 1 diabetic, I am constantly baking, so it's not for him. It's more for my sake.
I'm trying to remember. Bacharoos were actually 2 weeks ago, and you were eating them on camera, right?
Yes.
This isn't something I've had a chance to indulge in yet, but I know I will sometime.
And they looked great.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next time we can all get together, I will bring them.
Excellent.
Remember, we're having the ATP potluck.
That's right. Professor Dave Chow is also with us today.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Been staring at the, is it tiny post-it notes behind you?
Yes.
Okay.
Little character sketches I just...
Oh, very cool. I didn't know whether it was a calendar or...
No,
you know.
It's just post-it notes on a nice framed piece of art that I just have back there, that's all. Amongst other clutter.
Are we caricatured up there?
No. I've got other places to put those caricatures, so... I've got that blackmail file ready to go at a moment's notice.
Which reminds me, Dave, would you mind caricaturing everybody on the Zoom right now and like putting it on a giant thing and getting it in my front yard by tomorrow morning?
Sure. Get in line. I get the purchase order ready to go too. Everybody's on a deadline.
Everybody's on a deadline. Well, we're going to probably see, speaking of a exponential curve, a number of unique ways to celebrate student graduation over the next few weeks. That's for sure.
Yep.
Professor Dan Maggio is here. Daniel Balfour Maggio.
I like James. I like his middle name. So I thought I would change. So what's the university doing for graduation? Anything special?
Yeah, nothing.
Virtually?
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
No.
I'm not doing caricatures of that gig, am I?
Yes. I thought yes.
You know, Dan, we have plans that Stephanie and I would have learned about this morning to do sort of a very small scale awards ceremony in the College of Engineering and Science because we didn't get to have our slide rule dinner dance that I'm sure you remember very fondly.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the message that Dr. Garibaldi doesn't want any whispers about commencement because he's holding out hope that we'll be able to throw something together in the middle of the summer. But the more that I read headlines, the more I see the other writing on the wall. So
we can have a celebration as long as we don't say congratulations on graduation. We can say like, you're done and all that stuff, but you know.
Beat it, kid.
That's it.
Professor Stephanie Conant is reminding from this meeting we had this morning that it sounded a lot like that thing where you're not allowed to say the word Super Bowl, but you can call it like the big game and stuff like that.
We may have an event that might have something to do with them graduating, but we can't directly announce that.
An event.
Mm. Right. Well, we were told explicitly on no regalia allowed. Wasn't that what
it was? Define
no
regalia.
Graduation regalia. That doesn't mean we can't put other regalia on. So exactly. We can be fancy in other ways.
Feather boas?
Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
That I have. Yeah.
You know, it's been a while, folks, since we had questions regarding things like academic regalia, but we'll take questions regarding anything. We stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu, reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP, find us on Facebook, or listen in your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Our Facebook group is on the cusp of 250 individual members.
Whoa.
Kind of a big deal.
Now, if they send us $1 a piece,
they can send us cookies instead.
Go into mom and dad's wallets and purses. Find a five.
Soupy sales.
There you go. There we go. Okay, folks. Dear professors, seeing as how our family has been sequestered for the COVID-19 dilemma, we've had time to come up with some more varied questions for you in the show. We hope you can use our questions and say they bring some cheer to your crew as much as they give us a few laughs during these Professor Livesey blank times. Professor Livesey sent out an unofficial Twitter poll the other day. Fill in the blank. These blank times.
I've heard that phrase too many times to count over the last 7 weeks.
Don't forget the runner-up to that, which is a grim milestone. And we're laughing about it. Stay safe and warmest wishes, as always, from Valencia, California. It's longtime question sender Frank Burrows. Thanks, Frank and family. Let's see what we can do with these questions that are indeed, I think they number 20. Excellent. And they are all over the place. Just to show you how all over the place they are. Once, one of the Beatles got arrested for setting a condom on fire. Which was it?
Lennon.
Ringo.
Paul.
Tragedy John.
So far, we've got nothing.
George?
George.
Paul.
Oh, my God.
Four for four, unless you're really going to the 2 seconds.
I have several rude things to say that I'm sure the university wouldn't appreciate. So I'll just I'll leave the guessing up to my colleagues.
Well, this is what it says. It says, in Germany once, Paul, an original drummer, Pete Best, lit one on fire in order to use it as a light as they were packing up gear in a dim room. They were basically confronted by the police and accused of trying to set the building on fire a few hours in jail.
Well, they were arrested in Germany because George was underage when they were playing there.
I remember that. Yeah. You know, it just fits into the category of this will be a great story to tell the grandkids.
How flammable are condoms?
That's
they
a good
were in a part of Hamburg that was pretty it's red light district, shall we say. The Reeperbahn is where they were playing when they were there.
Okay. So underage for would have been what, Beth?
Playing in the kind of clubs they were playing in.
What I mean is what chronological age?
18.
Okay.
Wow.
First one.
No one's gonna answer Jim's question.
What was that?
Jim?
Well, flammable or condoms. I mean, I never would have thought of that as a source of combustion.
I would Google it, but I don't want that in my history.
Yeah, so. I don't know what the images.
Maybe it was just a package, like the wrapper.
Maybe.
That's foil, usually. That didn't seem very flammable either.
Paper.
Jim, let's just say the lubricant could be used as an accelerant. In
there
other
you
ways.
Go.
There you go.
Moving on.
Yeah, thank you. Please.
Approximately, pay attention to the units, approximately how many miles of yarn come from 1 pound of wool?
3.7.
3.7 is a little closer to the order of magnitude, but you're a little low, Mara.
25.1.
It's higher than 5.1, less than 20.
7.7.
12.
I'm giving it to Heather within the error bars. It's 10 miles of a yarn can come from 1 pound of wool. 1 pound.
That's wow.
Where's Kendra?
It seems like a lot.
Doesn't that depend on the thickness of the yarn?
It would.
Really, yeah. We're kind of stretching the definition here, aren't we?
I forgot this is just a radio show. I make these comments during movies, and then everybody always says to me, Dan, it's just a movie. So,
Dan, it's just a radio show.
Just a radio show. Sorry.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the 10 professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations. Thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology, we're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
from Valencia, California, it's longtime question sender Frank Burrows. For as tall as they are, how deep do redwood trees' roots go in feet?
Doesn't it depend on the size of the tree?
You know, that's actually the first part that it says here, Heather, but Jim also jumped all over it. It says, at the most, it's been clocked at about 12 feet, but they can spread side to side over 100 feet.
Yes.
That's a serious anchor right there.
That's what they're saying about us during this pandemic, too, so.
Exactly. What famous actor played the TV repairman in the movie Pleasantville?
Don Knotts,
Heather, that's correct. Don Knotts, famous actor from the era that was being parodied in that movie. By population, what are the only two top 30 cities in America who have declined in overall population since the year 2010?
Detroit
is number one.
St. Louis.
It's not St. Louis.
Is some California city?
Sit still and sit down. St. Louis is growing. So far, all we have is Detroit.
Is it Cleveland?
Not Cleveland. Cleveland
Chicago?
Is
Chicago?
Not Chicago.
I would say it's not Pittsburgh.
Baltimore?
It's Baltimore, yes. For the record, we have the data here. Detroit sits going into the 2020 census at a minus 6% in population, and Baltimore is at a minus 3% in population. Well, this is kind of interesting.
Wire, you know why that's the case.
I'm looking in a Heather and Beth kind of direction when I ask the next related question. Of the top 30 cities in America based on the 2010 census, which three saw over 20% growth?
Seattle.
Yeah.
Houston.
No, but the other two are both in Texas.
Austin.
Dallas. Austin.
Dallas, Fort Worth, and Austin. That's correct. Yes. The highest of those was Seattle with a whopping 23% growth.
Wow. That's amazing. That's
what happens when you legalize weed.
Well, and they all want to work.
It's only been a year.
Detroit. My sister and her husband are planning to sell their house and move to Idaho because of how expensive it is to live in Seattle.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Which fictional spacecraft costs more to build? The Robinson's Jupiter 2 or the Starship Enterprise?
Got to be Enterprise.
I was going to say it's Jupiter.
Yeah, that sounds about right. The Jupiter 2.
It says the Jupiter 2 here, and it gives absolutely no even fake money values, which is too bad, because that would have been helpful.
Okay, Dan, entertain me on this Star Trek geekiness. Probably by the time they built the Enterprise, they weren't talking dollars and cents at that point? Yes, no?
Did they even mention currency ever in Star Trek? What a great trivia question. I mean, as was it, Picard gave that speech where money is not an issue in the future?
That's right.
I don't know, Dave.
So one of the series has the Ferengi, who are the great.
Yeah, that's in Deep Space Nine. They probably talk about currency a lot. Yeah,
something like that.
I was thinking the original series,
the
real one.
What city is the main distribution point for the services of UNICEF?
Is it international?
It's not American.
Stockholm? No, that's not right.
Geneva?
You're close with Stockholm, Beth. You're very close.
Helsinki?
Copenhagen?
It's Copenhagen, yeah. Beth gets the lead, and Dan gets the assist there.
So I get the assist? Nice. Very nice.
You made quite a team, Dan.
Thanks.
You're a great assistant.
Ooh, this is one that's a solvable problem here. This is pretty interesting. What was the very first year that the BBC would have broadcast Big Ben's chimes on New Year's Eve? What year was it? A hint, it hasn't been 100 years yet.
46.
1922.
Jim, I don't know how you do it. 1923, and that's pretty dang close in my book. 1923. give it a few more years, and then we'll have done it for 100 years here.
How do you do it, Jim?
I don't. It's all an illusion.
It's just what he does. He drinks coffee, reads books, and he knows things.
Yeah, there you go.
What river is the largest tributary of the Columbia in Washington State?
Snake River?
Yakima?
Snake River is what it says here.
Snake.
My evil Knievel geekiness bubbles to the surface.
Oh, that's right.
Snake the Great River. Jump.
What percentage of the world's lumber is used by IKEA to make products?
12%.
It's 2%. Lower, 2%. But when you think about the world's 8. Lumber, it still is pretty 4, good.
4%.
You know, I'd say 8.
It says here that it's only 1%, but to me, that's
still astounding.
That's a lot. Yeah.
So that's real wood, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is it with a press board?
Well, I'm literally.
Sure, it's more real than other, you know.
I think that's too low. I have 1% in my house alone.
I'm just thinking, I'm sitting at the Mayo family laundry folding table, which is an IKEA product. And I'm like, it looks about like 1%. You know?
And as soon as I open, I'm going back for a few more.
My desk might be the 1% that I'm sitting at. It's a big IKEA desk.
Mm-hmm.
Fits in a corner.
It fits perfectly. And by the way, if you haven't checked this out before, go online. There are people that are super nerds who find ways to agglomerate parts from multiple IKEA products and recombine them into different kinds of furniture that you might need based on shape and function. It's fantastic.
Some variation of reverse engineering.
There you go. Okay, a couple more of these questions from Frank and his family. Where would you use a Tromner? Tromner. A Tromner.
That's got to be a garden tool.
It sounds like that, doesn't it? What were you saying, Stephanie?
Fishing?
No, that's good. I kind of like that, but it's from the medical field.
Brain surgery.
Brain surgery is a little far from where you would use this.
Is it diagnostic in nature? Or?
It is mildly diagnostic.
Is it that little hammer that they check reflexes with?
It's the little
hammer. Good one.
With the rubber head, yeah.
Because God forbid you like sort of whip out the claw hammer and be like, whatever.
Why don't they call the little hammer that you hit the knee with?
For real.
Well, chances are it was invented by somebody and they got their name attached to it. That's.
I'm going to impress my doctor at my next physical when he pulls it out and say, you brought your Tromner.
He probably doesn't even know, or she doesn't even know.
I just, what I'm afraid of, Stephen, because that's a great joke, is that it's going to be like several years before you're going to have a chance to, you know. Bad news.
Always a ray of sunshine, Matt.
So write it down, Stephen, so you can use it.
No, just put it on your knee. Insert Tromner here.
Tattoo.
Let's see if we can put this one together. What soft drink was the first in America, not too surprisingly, who debuted a 2-liter container in 1976?
Mountain Dew.
Mm-mm. RC Cola. Oh.
No,
Sprite.
It's probably either Coke or Pepsi.
Yeah, it's got to be a Coke product.
It's actually Pepsi is what it says. Pepsi? Pepsi pioneered the 2-liter, yes. Pushing, for the record, America closer and closer to adoption of the metric system, and yet somehow 8 cubic yards of mulch are being delivered. I have to tell you, I sent my middle son out with the tape measure because I needed to get a rough estimate, and he literally said to me, and I was like, we're this close. He goes, Dad, what are these markings? Son, those are inches.
Oh.
Yeah, nice.
So, Matt, are they dropping that thing off in your driveway?
That's exactly correct.
It's
going to be Dave, your sidewalk. Your driveway, Dave.
We've done it before. It's not that big of a deal. All right, let's do one more of these wonderful questions, and then we're basically all set. Which U.S. president was the only one to have traveled to and inside the vault at Fort Knox. Only one president has actually ever done that.
Roosevelt? Teddy?
You know what? Roosevelt, you should have just stopped because it gave you like full coverage. It was FDR. It was FDR.
Very well done.
Yeah, the reason that this was on the tip of my tongue, just at least in terms of the idea, was I don't know why flipping channels the other day, because let's be serious, there's not much good on broadcast TV, but it was Goldfinger, and they were also interspersing all this trivia about Fort Knox, which I just think Fort Knox is cool. I think I like the idea. If we were to set off a nuclear device inside and irradiate all the gold, that it would take hundreds of thousands of years. It was sort of a like a supervillain, perfection plan. I loved it. I loved that movie so much. Do you expect me to talk?
Where Sean Connery wears his little romper? Is that the one? Or is that Dr. No? I can't remember.
Let's just say that he was very young looking, Beth, very, very young looking. And I was going for, Bond on the table with the laser.
Yes, separated. Almost lasered in half. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. And then walking away.
I love that line.
What a great line. Folks, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our show here. So the time has come to say goodbye. Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Daniel Balfour Maggio.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Dave.
See ya.
Beth.
See ya.
Jim.
Take care.
Steven.
Bye. Stay safe.
Mara.
Peace.
Heather.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Live on tape from my dining room, the University of Detroit Mercy presents
Unplugged.
This is amazing, yes. The world tour continues and didn't get any farther than this. So.
Hey, this is a great place to be.
Anyway, here we are. The University of Detroit Mercy prevents Ask the Professor. As if they could. Try as hard as they might.
Successive generations of administrations have tried.
Tried, and they failed.
We're still here, and they're gone. What were their names?
I don't know. What are their names now? Who cares?
Well, you know, today Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the basement laundry folding table at the Mayo House in Berkeley, Michigan, and in many other suburban and Detroit locales. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed today by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Thank you.